Thanks, Malcolm. Good morning. This is the last one in this session, so thank you for sticking with us. What I want to talk about is the Child Status Index tool. And just to set the stage, right, we have this problem of orphans and vulnerable children, both in countries that have been heavily impacted by HIV and other diseases, and post-conflict countries. So the need exceeds resources. Right? If you look at any sort of epidemiological breakdown of numbers of children in need, need absolutely exceeds resources. So all of these organizations that are sort of on the front line providing services have to decide who gets a seat at the table, right? Each of these bowls, each of these cups, the food here, there's a limited number of bales of rice or greens. Who gets a seat at the table, and then what care and support will they receive? So these are complex, difficult questions, and little children's lives depend upon the answer to these questions. So it's a very, very complex situation. So the Child Status Index was created a few years ago. It was funded by USAID, developed by Measure Evaluation at the Carolina Population Center. And the goal was to help some of these community-based organizations that are serving orphan and vulnerable children to help them assess children's needs, right? So these organizations have a number of children in their, that they know in their sort of catchment areas, and they have to help these organizations meet the needs of children. But they have to figure out, well, who needs the services? So what's the situation of the child? What are the different services they need? So they developed the CSI to help CBO staff assess children in key domains. Talk about the key domains in just a minute. But they're to use a 4-point scale. So this CSI started to be used by a lot of different community-based organizations, despite the fact that there had been no rigorous evaluation of the tool. There was little understanding of whether the CSI generates valid data regarding the type and degree of vulnerability. So USAID asked us to do an evaluation of the CSI, and we set out to do an independent external assessment of the tool in one country, and we did this work in Malawi. So the Child Status Index is available online. You can just Google CSI. There's a lot of information. You can download the booklets. There's pictures to go with it. There's a scoring system, and it's very easily available. We also have versions of it in the report and in the paper, and I have the references to that at the end. So knowing that the Child Status Index is out there, the different domains include food and nutrition, shelter and care, abuse and exploitation, legal protection, wellness, healthcare services, emotional health, social behavior, performance and education and work. Right? So there's all these different areas, and the community-based volunteer staff or volunteers or community-based organization staff and volunteers are asked to look at these different domains and rate children from very bad or one to good. All right? So this is what we did. We developed this validation tool. We called it the Comprehensive Child Welfare Instrument, or sort of a long survey. It was a long survey. And we had the sort of luxury of using very well-trained staff who could spend 2 or 3 hours at every child's household. They could ask all these different questions. We used best practices or validated instruments, and they could look at the child. They would do the growth monitoring and collect anthropometric data, but they could also look in the pot and look to see what people were having for lunch. They could see what the food stores were. They could see if there was a chicken or a goat, or what was available, if there were any assets in the house, right? So we had the luxury to really see what was going on in this house and ask a whole bunch of questions to verify that what we were getting was as close to the truth as possible, all right? So we collaborated with CBOs in Malawi, and we used an independent local trainer who was experienced with the CSI training, and he did the CSI training of the CBO staff. So the community-based organization staff, they generated scores for children that they see. We selected a sample of children who had these scores, and we interviewed them using our long survey. And we did this very, very close in time because we didn't want, you know, changes to interfere with the data and bias results. So I'm not going to get into this, but it just kind of breaks up where do we get all our indicators from? And this is in the paper and in the report. But basically we asked what is the best possible indicator we can use, and we tried to use that. There was no case where there was something that somebody suggested and we didn't use it. If there were multiple ways to understand something, we used multiple ways because we really truly wanted to make sure we were getting as much information about the child and their household as possible. Now, this is the data from the CSI, okay? This is the data where the community-based organizations, the volunteers or staff, collected this information and they rated the children. And this is for 5 to 10-year-olds. We did it separately for 5 to 10-year-olds and for 11 to 17-year-olds. And one of the things you'll notice, if you look over in that very bad column all the way to the right, in many of these domains, there are a few children that are listed as very bad. In food security, there are a number of children. 56% are listed as very bad. But other than that, very few are listed as very bad. Okay, and then for 11 to 7-year-olds, it's even sort of, 17-year-olds, sorry, it's even more stark. If you look in that very bad column, very few kids are rated as very bad. So let me go through some findings. I'm going to go through some food and nutrition, just some selected findings, but we have all of them in the report in the paper. What I want to show you, though, is that what we did, we calculated a Spearman rank correlation coefficient. And what that helps us understand is what is the correlation between the CSI score from the volunteer or the staff person and the sort of the more objective outcome that we got in the long survey that we did. Now, if you're familiar with Spearman rank correlation coefficient, if it's somewhere between 0 and 0.3, it's a very low correlation. Maybe 0.3 to 0.7 is sort of medium. Above 0.7 is a pretty strong correlation. If it's negative, then you've got an inverse relationship. All right, so 0 is sort of no relationship. 1 or negative 1 is a strong correlation or an inverse correlation. So if you see the bold 0.4, that in all of the analyses we did, that was the highest correlation we found. And that was, in this case, between food security and a food insecurity composite score. All right, so if you see 0.06 and 0.07 and 0.08, basically for most of these analyses, for most of these measures, there was no to very low correlation. Some of the Spearman rank, SRCC is Spearman rank correlation coefficient, some were negative. And again, that was the highest we found. So we went domain by domain to understand why are we seeing what we're seeing. So if we look more closely here, we see that, well, if these measures were correlated, the long survey that we did, food insecurity composite scores would steadily decrease as the CSI scores declined from 0 to 3. So instead, we see 6.7, 7.6, 7.9, and 7.0. And so the very bad, that should be the highest score. All right, and that's sort of just another way to illustrate it, that the children who were rated as very bad were not the ones who scored the worst in the longer survey. Now we look at nutrition and growth, and we see a correlation coefficient between 0.2 with 5 to 10 year olds. So there's a weak correlation as CSI scores fail to identify the most food insecure children. In fact, of children rated good or fair by the CSI, The majority of the caregivers reported 6 or more problems in the past week, and those were pretty significant food security issues, such as worrying that they would not have enough food, not eating preferred foods, limiting variety, eating food they didn't want to, smaller amounts than what they wanted to, fewer meals, having no food in the household, going to sleep a day or night, or going to sleep or going a full day or night without food. So they had 6 or more of these problems, and yet they were rated as having good or fair food security. Now, this is height for age Z-scores for 11 to 17-year-olds. Now, you see here on the bars, that is how the CSI scores were rated. There, none of the children were rated as having very bad growth, despite the fact that 25% were stunted, meaning that they were more than two standard deviations below average, and 11% were severely stunted, meaning they were more than 3 standard deviations below average. Yet none rated as very bad, and only 2 rated as bad. So you see, we have this situation where there's a discordance and a disconnect between what the CSI scores yielded and what this longer in-depth survey revealed. And we see that pretty much across the board. A couple more slides on findings. So protection. We asked children a series of questions. We asked these questions in a secluded place where the child was safe to answer and was safe with our research staff, but was safe to answer as honestly as they would. So what we see is that, again, very low to no correlation, despite the fact that none of the children were scored by the volunteers as having bad or very bad outcomes in this area, yet 36% reported that they were screamed at loudly or aggressively, they were called names or cursed, 28% were made to feel embarrassed or ashamed, 24% had been spanked or beaten with an object, 22% had been locked out of their house, 22% had been pushed, grabbed, or kicked, 21% had been told they would be abandoned, 17% had been spoken to in a sexual way that made them feel uncomfortable, and 14% had been told they should never have been born or should die. We looked at psychosocial outcomes using the CDI is the depression inventory, child depression inventory. We used the strengths and difficulties and the child depression inventory. And again, such low correlation, and in some case inverse. So older children, 94%, received a score of good or fair by the community-based organization staff or volunteer. And despite the fact that the vast majority were scored as good or fair, 27% scored above the midpoint for the total composite. So we're not diagnosing these children as having depression, but they scored pretty high on, you know, if this was your child and they scored that high on a depression index, you would take notice. You would, as a mother, I would be very concerned. So 21% scored above the midpoint for negative mood, 15% scored above the midpoint for ineffectiveness, 13% scored above the midpoint for anhedonia, that's a loss of joy or pleasure in life. And the mean total composite score for children, you should see a consistent rise in these scores. And instead we see 39, then it dips down to 38, bad is 35, and then it does go up to 50. But there's not the relationship we should see if the children who were having these problems were identified as so. Now, this is a very difficult task to do. And if you work with some of these community-based organizations and you see the level of poverty and the level of need among children, you know, this is very complex. However, in this analysis, we found that there were mainly weak or negative relationship between the CSI score and the comprehensive child welfare scores. There were few significant relationships. We found conflicts between data in most subdomains, indicating that the CSI failed to identify children most in need and most in distress. Children were experiencing serious problems in their lives. Our data staff, were in contact throughout this, and it was very concerning for them to be collecting some of this information about children. And and what do we do with this? Because there's a lot of need and a lot of distress. So despite this, the CSI scores did not recognize these issues as of concern. Now, this data was collected in one site only. This was done in Michinji, Malawi in 2009 or 2010. And it was done in one site. Now, we also did, we've also looked at CSI data from additional sites, though. We haven't done the validation exercise, but we've looked at the data, and for me, when I look at it, I've seen data from India and other countries and seen that, again, there's no variation, right? Like, so kids are rated as having few problems with nutrition and growth in some of the, slums of Delhi. And that makes me go, that could be a problem. When none of the children are rated as having psychosocial problems or emotional problems, that makes me say, if it's accurate, there's going to be some kids who are identified as having problems. So while this was collected in one site only, I've yet to see any data that really challenges what we've found here. The other thing is that we've done we did a qualitative study among implementers, and we did some ongoing discussions with implementers confirming these concerns. In fact, it was the subject of a interesting lunch in Addis over last week or the week ago or 2 weeks ago, where one of the implementers said, "Yeah, but here's the problem, and here's the problem, and here's the problem." So we know there are concerns. So recommendations, right? Because think back to the first slide. We've got all these children. Right? We've got all these children, we've got limited resources, but we still need to figure out how do you ration, or how do you pick out the kids with the most vulnerability and give them the care that they need. So here are some of the suggestions that we have been thinking about over the last year or so. So revise the tool, create a new tool, revise the tool, somewhere in between that, reduce the ambiguity, focus the meaning, and ensure a single clear measure with each score. There are new versions of this that are sort of circulating out there, and I'm actually quite excited about some of the new versions. I do think they need to be evaluated, but they're moving in the right direction. So revise and improve training. We know that in some places people download it off the off the internet and they use it, and then in some places people are trained. So that is do you have a tool that can be used globally that can just be downloaded, or do you require a certain level of training? I think you probably need to require for best results that there be a certain level of training, but then there be a series of opportunities where people can practice but then get feedback. Because what we've seen is that there's very little feedback after a training has been done. The sort of two major things that the most important things that I would like to get across are that the next two here. Reconsider using unpaid volunteers to implement the CSI. In so many places it's unpaid volunteers who are doing one of the most difficult tasks possible, and that is rationing these resources to children and households when there's so much more need than there is availability. Requiring literacy among implementers. In many places, you use the people who are there. Many times they're not literate. I don't believe you can get good data on this type of tool if your staff is not literate, because in the training, in the information surrounding a tool like this, it requires numeracy, it requires literacy. And then as new tools emerge, require further validation research. And then there's a lot of teams, so this will be uploaded with all these people who helped out, and hear other reports if you are interested. Thank you.